This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Good having you in, as usual, on a Friday.
A little football Friday.
It is.
Got a lot to talk about.
There is a lot to talk about.
How about Roddy Jones, Matt Berry last night?
They were going deep into stuff to talk about.
Studio show.
We tried to warn everybody. At least I did. I'll take credit on this a little bit. You know, I thought Louisville would see the end zone a bunch, and they did.
Yeah.
How about Malik Cunningham last night?
Freaky.
Dude, come on.
Yeah. I mean, just the speed, the accuracy, the vision. I mean, he is so fun to watch. And it's so funny you hear, you know, people say, nobody talks about Malik Cunningham. We talk about him. We talk about him a lot on this show just because he's so special, Pack.
303 yards passing, 224 yards rushing. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six. Seven touchdowns. Seven touchdowns. And, oh, by the way, did not play the last 12 minutes of the game.
I mean, could you imagine? I mean, if this guy was in the Heisman race, he probably would have went for 10. And just the way that he was doing it, it honestly, it looks like those old rec games when you have a guy that is just that much better than everybody else. It's like a 13-year-old playing with 7-year-olds. Look at this run. Duke has him like three times, for sure tackled right here, and somehow ends up 72 yards down the field for a touchdown. And you just see this just running away from guys. And it's impressive to see. He is an absolute warrior, and he has been that offense all year long. But what an exclamation point. As we're going into rivalry week, next week versus Kentucky, cannot wait to see that.
He was not feeling well. He was on the show this week. And I hate to say this. Well, actually, no, I don't hate to say this. So we have had an uncanny run on our show of student-athletes appearing on the program, and then the next effort is ungodly. There's been a P&D bump on this program this year in football. So Malik was on with us a couple days ago, had the little hoodie going on, a little hat going
on. Was the camo.
Yeah.
Good. It was a good look.
Wasn't feeling great, and then he just goes out and goes, okay, let's go ball. I mean, he's just out there running around having a good time. Like you said, a kid on Thanksgiving Day with his buddies. That's what it looked like.
Exactly what it was.
Just out there
balling. Best athlete, go to work, go to town. And really, I mean, it's probably a little bit frustrating for Louisville fans just to see these glimpses of this offense and what it could be and maybe what you expect it to be. Because, Pac, when was it, July? When we called them the team of destiny.
Team of mystery,
excuse me.
Yep.
And you're just looking at them like, I don't know what to expect. And it's held true the entire year. And I don't know. I really feel like Louisville's going to look back at this season and just be like, man, what could have been?
Mm-hmm.
What could have been?
All those fourth quarter leads. But here's the good news for Louisville fans. They're all back.
Right.
All 11 are back
it's
on
exciting.
That side of the ball.
It's
and, exciting. You know, the defense gets a little bit better, which mm-hmm. I think can happen.
Mm-hmm.
He's back. You got to deal with him.
Yep.
And, you know, that offensive line's been good. And Satterfield was on this a couple weeks ago. He said, you know, our offensive line's really playing well. And when you got a guy back there that can throw it and can run it, and he's, you know, he's just having fun, man.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
balling.
Yeah.
I think the future's pretty bright at Louisville.
I do, too. And you see it. I mean, you see the way the plays develop. They love to run the stretch zone. I mean, that's what everything is based off of. When that's working, they're hitting at a very high clip, and just things can be built off of that, the play action, quarterback run, design run. It's very impressive to see schematically when it's working, how good it can be now that it's taken that next step. Okay, we've got to be able to do that against the Clemson, against Miami, against Virginia, against Wake Forest, all these bigger name teams that, you know, maybe can sneak up on you that have better defenses. That's the next step, is consistency for Louisville.
All right, the flip side is Duke. All right, they're 0-7 in the league, 7 straight losses, 12 straight conference losses. Defensively, let me just get, I'm going to give you some numbers, and I'm not telling you these are numbers to play in the lottery. 62, 48, 54, 45, 48. That's the last 5 games Duke defensively in terms of points given up. Mm. Eric, they had 30 first downs and lost by 40. No, let that marinate a second. 30 first downs and lose by 40.
Converted fake punt. Blocked punt.
Blocked.
8 times in enemy territory. A quarterback who was 13 of 13.
Got to talk about Riley Leonard coming off
and
the bench.
Lose by 40.
Lost by 40 at home.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's sad to see. And, you know, I love Duke. I really do. I love going there. Love the people. Love everybody that works there. Love the student athletes. But it is a tough time right now. And we heard from, you know, Jake Bobo last night. I saw a couple of quotes on Twitter. And it's a sad point when you hear somebody say, I don't know where to start. There's so many different problems that we're dealing with right now. And it's true. I mean, you see it every given Saturday. And it's very unfortunate.
687 total yards for Louisville last night. And here, I said this
just
yesterday.
Malik just ran for a couple of
He just ran back to Louisville. He's there. It's like, I'm faster than the plane. Catch y'all later. Here's what really makes it disheartening for me personally. I think David Cutcliffe's one of the all-timers. Right?
No question.
Great football. And not good. Great football coach.
Yes.
Incredibly well-respected. A wonderful person. Has done a ridiculously great job at Duke. And you watch that game last night, and it's, you know, not that we know because we haven't talked to him, but you can almost just see like the body language of what can I do, right? I mean, we've reached the point, and again, I just rattled off the last five games as far as points allowed. You're not going to beat any. I don't care. He is a mastermind offensively, right? Quarterback whisper, all that stuff. You're not beating anybody giving up 51.4 points a game,
yeah,
which is what the number is in the last five.
Right.
51, half a hundred.
Yeah.
And you just watch Cutcliffe last night, and it's just kind of like, where are we? I mean, we're 0-7 in the league.
Right.
We can't defend. You know, I don't know what we do offensively to be able to be competitive, which you haven't been. So, I mean, I hate that for him.
I do too.
I don't know what the answer is. I know there are going to be people whispering about, hey, you know, does Duke need to change? Those people exist everywhere, right? Right. But I think David Cutcliffe has earned the right to make any call,
yes,
regarding his future.
No question.
Right? And
no
I know Duke, from an administrative standpoint, is going through a transition. But David Cutcliffe, the job he has done at Duke, what he inherited was pure garbage. I mean, it was awful. There was nobody there. The facilities were bad. Yeah. Couldn't beat anybody. Right. And, you know, he got him to an ACC football championship game in 2013.
People forget. People forget.
They should never forget that.
Right.
And they became more than just a team. They weren't a dormant. They were competitive.
Yeah.
I watch Duke now. They're not competitive.
Yeah.
They're not.
Right. And what's really interesting, everything that you just said there, number one, remember, guys, Duke used to have a track around their football field, and he got all that changed. The facilities you spoke about, the players that he's been able to get in there, that there should never be anybody saying, Cut, you need to do this. It's 100% his decision, should be, and I hope will be. The thing that is craziest to me, Pac, and you talk about being competitive, is Duke always has players. You look at the NFL draft a year ago, 3-4 guys drafted, 5-6 signed with teams. And it's, the talent is there. And this year, I'm sure, will be very similar. And Mateo Duran and some of these wide receivers, if they decide to leave, a couple of defenders. And it's just, why can that not translate to victories, to more competitive-looking play? And it's head-scratching. And I know it's frustrating, but you know, you've just got to think that something is going to have to change this offseason, whether it's defensive staff, if it's, you know, just the way that we do things in general. It'll be interesting to follow.
Do you think they have the personnel to compete? That's my question. You can have a guy
player-wise,
or two. Yeah, I think you can have a guy or two becomes an NFL guy,
right,
if you will.
Right.
That's one thing.
Right.
But as far as being competitive, it takes more than one or two guys. 100%.
So when we went to, you know, visit with them in their camp, and I was just kind of looking around like, man, there's not enough body types. And that's tough. I mean, this is one of the best universities in the world. You can't just go and get any regular dude. It has to be a certain special guy.
When they
guy.
Cast the net for recruiting, it's not
– small net.
Hey, the guy runs a 4.3 40. Great.
That's
but
awesome.
Can he read or write?
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, I mean, it is
tough.
A different animal.
It's tough. So, the answer's no. Can you get more – I mean, sell play time, sell opportunity, and maybe. But transfer portal, there's ways that you can do it now that – you don't just have to sit and wait for a recruiting class to develop in 4 years, but it's tough.
Yeah, no question. But great win for Louisville. They won 62-22. Taking care of business. They get Kentucky, good old-fashioned love
good
fest.
Good about that game at Louisville.
Little Commonwealth love fest.
Yeah.
That'll be good stuff.
Hey, Malik, rest ice up, man. Rest up. Full body cast for a week, then let's go to work.
You know, he seems to be pretty good when he's under the weather.
Right. Right. Michael Jordan flu game. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, he might just want to stay sick for a while and just say, hey.
Take the toboggan off, go outside, bud.
Just run like crazy. He was spectacular last night. Again, the ACC quarterbacks are unbelievably good. Duke's got Miami. That's how they close that thing off next week. TBD comes in there throwing it all over the yard.
Yeah.
So Which coach cut the best? I mean, I root for him because he's such an easy guy to root for. But that was tough watching that last night.
It was.
Other stuff going on. And we're going to address every game, all that good stuff. Men's basketball last night, we had two games. Our alma mater, the Clemson Tigers.
Figured out offense.
Man, old Nick Honor, talking about a guy perfect from the field. I mean, you know what? I know Riley Leonard went 13 for 13 for Duke. How about Nick Honor? He made everything he looked at.
It's impressive.
Huh? What was up with that?
Really? I mean, Clemson's known for defense. And so this offensive explosion, I'm looking at Twitter. People are freaking out, saying these guys putting on an absolute clinic there. And then my Virginia Tech Hokies, look out, Pack.
They're good.
Look out, Pack.
They're good. The A-train last night, double dip of 18 a game. Virginia Tech beat St. Francis by 30. And Hokies next week have Memphis. I'm just giving you a little you a little heads up. I know we got football in the brain. There's some really, really good matchups coming up.
You have some old guys in Virginia Tech versus some absolute young phenoms at Memphis.
That's next week.
I can't
week.
Wait to see that.
That's a really good ball game.
Aluma versus
they got them all.
Man, Imani Bates.
Game on.
Freaky.
That's going to be, again, we'll get to the schedule, the Bojangles.
It's football Friday, man. Let's talk football.
But we got hoops. Women's basketball last night, kind of a mixed bag for the most part. Florida State, a winner. They beat Jacksonville comfortably. Miami knocks out FAU by 10. Katie Myers, ladies, taking care of business. Wake Forest beat Charlotte in a tight one by 6. Notre Dame, my agent's a Notre Dame guy, says, hey, and he loves Notre Dame basketball. Loves Notre Dame women's basketball. That's his go-to.
Listen, Kelly Gramlich tells me Notre Dame basketball for the women, they're a little different this year.
They've been
down a couple years. KG thinks they're back.
Take it for whatever it's worth. Okay. You heard it here first.
That's right.
We're not done either. I mean, football, obviously, we're going to talk about. You got hoops going on. Some great games come up this weekend as well. We also had the NCAA soccer tournament getting cranked up. On the men's side, here's what we got. Wake knocked off Mercer 2-1. Kyle Holcomb, pair of goals. Nice. North Carolina defeated Loyola, Maryland. Penalty kicks.
That confused me for a second. I saw that 0-0. I'm like, wait, hold on.
And no ties.
We're not tying in the tournament.
No ties. You got to win.
Somebody
wins. Somebody goes home.
That's right.
Hokies take care of business. They beat Campbell. Unfortunately, Louisville lost 1-0. Only one shot on goal.
Hard to win that way.
I wonder if Malik can play soccer.
He would be excellent.
Would he be
any
good?
Imagine seeing him flying
for good night. The women's soccer, number one, Virginia, takes care of business. They defeated Milwaukee 2-0. So there you go. NCAA men's and women's soccer. It's all happening in November.
This is the best time of year. You got championships. You have football, basketball, soccer, whatever you want. We're playing it right now.
Yep. All right. We got tons to do. We'll take calls today, too, if you're in the mood, because we're going to address all the football games. Everything.
We have some folks, a chance
to clinch this weekend. Pitt and Wake. We're going to get into that next segment, by the way. Clinching opportunities. Heinz Field.
It's playoff weekend, man.
Is Brennan Armstrong going to go? Does anybody know? Tell you what, the Hoos have done a nice job keeping it quiet, and Wake Forest is going into the Valley. We're going to talk about it coming up next. Packer and Durham, right here on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. No Durham today. It's Pack and Mac on Friday. 844-SAY-ACCN. All right. Everybody's worried about what are the scenarios. The scenarios are actually simple. They're simple. Don't let FPI fool you. If Pitt wins, they're
free
in.
Free Packer information.
Yeah, free Packer information. If Pitt wins, they're in. If Wake wins, they're in. That's all you should concentrate on this week. Because if that doesn't happen, then we'll worry about scenarios next week.
What do you think? Will we know this weekend? Sunday, will we know who's playing?
No. No, we're not.
Come on.
You like that or not?
I do like that.
You agree with that?
I do.
All right. We'll figure that out as the show goes on.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, let's start up in Heinz Field.
Come on.
Kenny Pickett's on this week. That should be a hint. Given the Packer and Durham bump, he goes off. Just saying.
Was he 130 yards away? Single season passing.
The exact number is, I have this written down, it's 163.
So a little dyslexia.
Yeah, 163.
I think he's going to shatter that. I think he gets that in the first half easily. But the biggest question, Pack, about this game, does Brennan play? What do your sources say? What do your inside sources say?
You know what?
My
sources are non-existent because, and I like that because that tells me that Bronco Mendenhall has done a brilliant job telling everyone you'll find out Saturday.
Yep.
And that's the way it should be.
Do you think there's people on the staff that don't even know? I bet there is. I bet two people know. Anai, three. Brennan and Coach Mendenhall.
I think more do. You know why? Because here's why I say that. Because if he's playing, you've seen him practice this week.
Maybe.
I think so.
Maybe. Those student reporters, man, they can get up and binoculars.
From the library.
Shout out Oklahoma. They found out about that.
No, that's whole totally different. If you knew that setup, you'd understand how that works. First of all, I hope he plays. As a fan, I hope he plays. Because I want to see the two best quarterbacks, two of them, get after it.
Yeah.
Because Armstrong's been spectacular. Kenny Pickett, enough said. So you want to see it. And you don't know at what percent either. I mean, if he goes, is he at 70%, 90%? I have no earthly idea.
Right.
But we did see what Virginia looks like without him. And in my opinion, that can't beat Pittsburgh.
No question. No, that might not score on Pittsburgh. I mean, when you look at this defense and the way that they have, you know, they're a little inconsistent. I know their fans know that. But when you watch them, there are flashes pack of brilliance. I mean, the way they get after the quarterback – believe they're about third in the nation in sacks and what they do. And that's not a recipe that a hurt quarterback wants to walk into, but Brennan is that special. And what I will be very interested to see if he does play pack is what's our mindset? Do we want to max protect and have a tight end and a running back stay in just to help clean anything up? When you do that, defenses can tee off. They know what you're trying to do. Or, you know, do you put five guys out in space? Of course, you're taking a gamble there because you have less guys to protect. So it's going to be fascinating to see if Brennan does play, what is our goal to protect him? How are we going to protect him?
Here's the other thing, too. With him, you have a chance.
Yes.
In my opinion.
Yes.
Without him, I don't like your chances.
Zero chance. Not zero. There's a statistic number.
0.3 seems to be the FBI cool number this week.
That was 0.3. Wofford in Carolina.
No, that was actually 0.7. Virginia Tech's chances to win the Coastal are 0.3.
Via FBI?
That's FBI. Okay. That's not free Packer information. Right. That's the other guys.
Right.
The clandestine group in the corner up there at the campus. He has to go for Virginia. All right, that's I think we would all agree with that. The other side is, even if he goes, is it enough?
Right.
Virginia's defense, if we just got done talking about Duke, Virginia's defense the last three games has given up 134 points. Mm-hmm. Now, it's hard to win games when you're giving up those kind of numbers. Now, just look at that stat. Since October 23rd, the last month, if you will, ACC, the worst in the league, sacks. Worst in pressuring the quarterback. Worse in yards rush. I mean, you go down the list here, there's nothing on that screen that encourages you that, hey, guess what? We got him right where we want him.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And going against the best quarterback in the country and Kenny Pickett. Oh, we're not going to pressure him. We're not going to sack him. We're just going to sit back and let him cook.
Can't do it.
It could be terrible. Yeah. It could be an awful day. We've seen, I mean, time and time again what Kenny can do when he has time. And really, I reflect back on that Georgia Tech game that Pitt played just because Georgia Tech played Clemson very well, and who hasn't? They beat North Carolina and just really were confusing those two quarterbacks with the coverage and sitting back, not bringing a lot of pressure. And I said, wait a second now. Kenny Pickett's going to tear that to pieces. And so if Virginia is not able to bring any type of pressure, if they're not able to create chaotic looks, he'll kill you.
He'll sit back and laugh.
Yeah.
He'll just sit there, oh, that's cute.
Go for 500.
We'll see.
We will.
Again, it's a simple formula this week if you're trying to figure out the ACC. Pitt wins, they punch their ticket. They'll be 3 miles down the road on December the 4th playing for an ACC championship.
Kenny Pickett will be right here, I heard. That's what he said.
We'll see.
Who do we need to talk to?
Well,
EJB?
We'll
Coach?
First of all, I just want to say, they got to get here first.
That's true.
It's college football.
That's true. Excuse me, I'm sorry. I got a little excited.
College football 21. Where nothing seems to make a whole lot of sense. All right, let's go to Death Valley. Here come the Deeks. 10th in the country and an underdog against unranked Clemson.
Clemson's on upset alert, I heard.
I showed you this morning. There's an article on CBSSports.com. A guy writes about who's on upset alert this week. Clemson. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Let me get this straight now. Wake is 10th in the country. Everything's rolling. I mean, everything's great with Wake Forest. The Tigers are all beat up. You'll hear from Dabo later on. They're at home. I get it. They won 33 in a row. Clemson's on upset alert. go figure. That's if that's not a snapshot of college football this year.
That's right.
Nothing.
It tells you how crazy this season is. But really, when I look at this game, there's a couple of things that I think are very important and things to watch. When Wake Forest has the ball, I think you want to really key on that line of scrimmage, that mesh point, that long riding RPO that they do. It's not going to really work against Clemson. Those guys are going to be blowing that line of scrimmage back and really resetting that line of scrimmage with the guys that they have on the defensive line.
They hope they can. Now, if that doesn't happen, that's a long day.
Sure.
Right?
That's sure. It could. It certainly could.
Here's the reason I say that. Because you know what? I saw Louisville's offensive line move that defensive line out of the way.
And here's the difference. I'm glad you brought that up. Here's the difference with that. So Louisville is running a stretch. So everybody's sprinting. So we're going. You've got a lot of room for momentum, number one, and then to just carry guys out of the way. You're basically using a guy like Xavier Thomas, fast athlete, explosive. He goes one way. Okay, great. I'm going to just keep taking you that way. What Wake is going to do is they stay right here and just sit. And so you have no momentum. You have no movement because you're just waiting. You can't go downfield because we might throw the ball or we're going to run it. And so that's where that's the difference. But surely, Pat, I keep giving you all these statistical guarantees, and that's not how the world works. So that'll be interesting to pay attention to. And then the physicality from Andrew Booth, from Mario Goodrich against the best wide receiving core in the ACC. I can't wait to watch both those matchups all Saturday.
All right. Now, I said to you the other day, if I'm Wake Forest, I've watched tape. I've seen the Tigers struggle. I get it. We still know you got a bunch of 4- and 5-star dudes over there. Offense haven't quite clicked all year. I'm putting everybody in the box.
Loaded up.
I'm loading up and just going, I dare DJ. Right. You and your one good leg and your 9 good digits. Right. You'll hear Dabo talking about the injury report. I'm going to take a gamble.
Right.
And I'm going to roll the dice. That number one, we're going to be able to score. We've done it. We've scored 35 or more on everybody game we've looked at. Yep. We acknowledge how good your defense is. We know the crowd's going to be a factor, even though it's at noon. We get all that. But we're going to find the end zone because we're Wake Forest.
Yes.
I'm going to roll the dice that I'm going to stick everybody and my brother in the box. And I'm going to say, hey, DJ, you throw for 400 today. I tip my cap. You guys got us. Good for you.
Right.
You earned it. But I'm going to roll the dice that says, you know what? You're going to throw a couple bad passes to my guys. You're going to miss receivers. Your guys are going to drop them. You guys have been doing that all year.
Right.
I'm going to roll the dice that that's what's going to happen.
I think that's a great plan. And, I mean, really, it would be two teams breaking tendency. Number one, Clemson committing and selling out to run the football, which you have Kobe Pace back. You have Will Shipley back. Maybe, you know, getting another guy healthy on the offensive line, and that may boost the running attack. And then for Wake, just as you said, why not? Test them. Let's see it. I'd love to see it. I haven't seen it all year. And just say that our guys are better than yours, and we expect some mistakes. And I think what you can do there if you're, you know, the deep defense is do a bunch of crosses, do a bunch of stunts with your defensive line. It's hard to target, Pack. If I'm stepping right, trying to double team, and your guy goes this way, that's tough because then I'm rocking back. It messes up everything on the back end. So let's stunt. Let's try to confuse these guys. You've got a great shot. It is going to be so interesting to see how both teams, do they break tendencies at all, or do they just do what they do because they think they do it better than anybody else?
Pressure on Wake. There's pressure on Clemson in this game.
I think more on Wake. Well, I agree, though, because there's that standard. And
right.
If you lose, it's over.
Right.
I mean, if you break right. The streak, the home streak, all this stuff, but – there's a lot on Wake.
Wake's got the shot, right? Just like Pitt does. Wake wins, they're in.
Yeah.
Right? And they knew from day one, title goes to Clemson. If you're going to do something about it, you're going to beat these guys.
Yeah.
Well, they get their chance tomorrow.
No high question.
Noon. Senior day, we'll talk about that later on,
ooh,
too.
A lot of emotion.
Yep. Tigers have won 33 consecutive home games. That's the longest winning streak in the country. And the Deacs have not won in Death Valley since 1998.
Wow.
Let that marinate. So that is two really interesting games, as you pointed out. Does Brendan Armstrong go? We don't know, but the Wahoo defense has to show up. Kenny Pickett's going to be dicing and slicing and having fun. And Wake Forest going on everybody. Can they do it in front of 80,000 that just don't simply care that you're there?
Right.
Because they're going to be fired. That'll be a rowdy group.
It will.
Even at noon.
It will. No question.
For senior day.
No question.
So it's a lot of fun stuff. We'll find out if Wake and Pitt can clinch this weekend. We'll get into all that stuff. When we come back, my conversation with Dabo Swinney. He joined me yesterday afternoon on Off Campus. You'll hear what Coach has to say about the Deacons coming to town. All that is coming up next. Packer and Durham, EMAC filling in for Wes. You got us right here on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Every single Saturday, the huddle. Jordan Cornette, dude sitting beside me, Mac, EJ Manuel, Mark Richt. They get you ready for ACC football. They'll preview the slate of games. They'll keep you updated on all things ACC football. Check them out, 10 a.m. Eastern, right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. The huddle. And the boys, by the way, will be much more comfortable this weekend. I know y'all enjoyed being on the road, though, up there in Switzerland last week.
I'm a road dog, man. I know you like being on the road. I like being on the road. Some good eats in Winston-Salem. Some good sights, some good sounds. I love it. I love when we get out there.
Sounds like Clausen sent you in the right direction last week.
Oh, man. This place called Sweet Potatoes. Listen, if you're ever in Winston-Salem, go to Sweet Potatoes. Unbelievable. Soul food, so good. Family-owned for a long, long time. Killer.
All right. Very good. Huddle tomorrow, 10 a.m. Get it all over you. I mentioned Dabo Swinney joins me every Thursday on Off Campus. You can check it out on SiriusXM Channel 84. We started a conversation yesterday, though, talking about Justin, right? Justin Ross had surgery yesterday. What a player. And here's what Dabo had to say about the legendary Justin Ross.
Yeah, he actually had surgery this morning. He'll be back at it in a few weeks here. But you know what? Man, don't be sad. Be thankful. It's been an unbelievable blessing to see him come back. I mean, one of the worst days of my coaching life was when the doctors came in my office and we had to call his mom and you know, basically they're saying he's not going to ever play again. And, you know, and there was one doctor in Pittsburgh that said, you know what, I'm not sure that's the case because he was born with one of the fusions. And he said, I'm not sure he can't. I'm not ready to say that. And, man, he believed in himself, first of all, and Justin bought in to what he told him. And, you know, 18, 19 months later, to see him back playing football, it was just one of the greatest moments of my coaching life. So, man, it's a blessing. And then, unfortunately, he had just a very, very tiny, tiny hairline fracture in his foot right before the Georgia game. And I thought he was going to be out a few weeks. But he's like, no, I'm playing. And he said, I'm going to play. And you know, he made it all year long. It's amazing. And down to that very last play, and if you really watch the play, you kind of see, and he just had a little bit more stress on it than what he had, but and it finally kind of gave way. So he got 10 games in, and that's what he needed. You know, he did a lot of great. His last three or four games were his best games, and you know, all the NFL people got a chance to see him not only play, but just, you know, fly around and leap and jump and, you know, everything. The last play of his career epitomizes Justin Ross just fighting and scratching and clawing five guys trying to bring him down. You know, he's a great kid, very committed to our program, and he's got a bright, bright future. And I'm just thankful that it hurts us as a team. There's no question about that. You know, we got a bunch of scholarship receivers out, I'm just happy he was able to play the 10 games and put the tape up out there, and for the scouts to be able to see him back playing football. And he'll be fine. He'll bounce back and be ready to go. And, you know, maybe he's prepared for the bowl. We'll see. You know, we got to get him well first.
You and Dave Clawson become pretty good buds. Yep. He has really done a remarkable job. I mean, Wake Forest is a unique situation in terms of the size of the enrollment. He is obviously true to what their beliefs are from an academic standpoint, athletically, and the whole thing. Always puts together a competitive team. And this year, they've caught lightning in a bottle. They've got really talented quarterback in Hartman. They got great wide receivers. Their scheme is unique. They've stayed relatively healthy, even though they did get nicked up against North Carolina. But what a great job Dave Clawson and Wake Forest have done this year. Really tremendous. It's not just
it really
one year.
Has.
It's been,
I mean,
for a while.
Very, very experienced team. They got, you know, most, they had one running back leave, but they got all these skill players, all these receivers, and their scheme, as you said, is very unique. This line is very cohesive. They've just got a lot of chemistry. They have played so much football together. And it's a really good group, man. They lead the country in pass plays of 30 yards or more. They're the only team in the country to score 35-plus points a game. Just very confident. And then defensively, they're better than their stats say they are, that's for sure. But they do a great job, man. They've had 13 different guys that have forced turnovers, so they're very opportunistic. And you know, there's a reason why they're 9-1, and you know, had the type of season they've had. But you know, we're excited about it. And but he's done a great job. And I've gotten to know him on a much different level the last 2 years because we've spent so much time on conference calls and committees and you name it. And I just got a lot of respect for him. He does things the right way. His kids play incredibly hard. They're well coached on both sides, and this will be a great matchup and a great opportunity for us. You know, I mean, this is a chance for the eighth win, a chance to be undefeated in the month of November. And you know, we got a little streak going here. It's Senior Day. It's a chance for our seniors to, you know, walk out of here back-to-back senior classes undefeated. That hadn't happened since 1940, 1941, and be 5 years in a row undefeated at home. There's a lot of opportunity for the Tigers, not to mention, you know what, we stay alive in ACC division play. You know, we win this game, hey, it ain't over. We'll be done. We'll finish 6-2 in the league, but we need a little help for sure. But, you know, we've got to take care of our business to give us at least have the opportunity going into the last weekend to still get to Charlotte. So, you know, a lot of opportunity for us, and that's our focus is taking what we got and go play our best game.
Coach, it hasn't been pretty, but, you know, the last couple of weeks, the offense is starting to find the end zone a little bit. I know UConn was a little different story, but, you know, as opposed to maybe a month ago, 2 months ago, despite the rash of injuries and everything else, you've been able to put some stuff together. You just got to get everybody healthy if that's possible.
Yeah, we've been creative. We've found some ways, and you know, we still are missing some plays here or there, but we are making some plays. You know, and last week the game was never in doubt, but we missed some opportunities, had some drop balls, and missed some easy plays, but then we kind of come alive. In 49 seconds, we go right down the field, and then we come out in the third quarter and 10-11 play drive, touchdown. And then I had to really take everybody out because we're so thin, you just couldn't afford to get anybody else hurt. And we were a little hodgepodge down the stretch with a lot of different people in the game. But we're doing some good things. But we're going to get our running backs back. We didn't have Shipley, didn't have Kobe. We're going to get Putnam back. So I think we have our best available lineman that'll give us a chance. So you know, our quarterback's beat up. He's got a bad knee and a bad finger, but he's our backup quarterback's, you know, not fully healthy. So it's a fun challenge, and I'm excited to see how these guys go compete. And you best believe they're going to do that. They're going to go compete their tails off against a great team. Everybody understands, you know, what's at stake and the opportunity. And you know, Wake's coming in here. They're coming in here to try to win the division because they can clinch it with a win. So this is a championship caliber game. And I know we'll have a great crowd in the Valley, and should be a good one.
Listen, important game, like you said, for Wake. They're sitting there going, hey, man, if you're going to win the Atlantic, it's got to go through Clemson. And, man, that's exactly what we see this weekend at high noon. Death Valley, place to be, Wake Forest and the Tigers. And, you know, I'm not a gambling guy, Coach, I got to be honest with you, and I don't normally pay attention to it. But you are favored to win this game. Did you know that? As the unranked going up against the 10th-ranked team, you are favored, according to folks in Vegas. Did you know that?
I don't pay any attention to that stuff either. But, you know, I think any time we line up in the Valley, I think that's a positive for the Tigers. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we can find a way to get it done and make them right.
You got it. Well, listen, happy birthday. I hope it's a great one for you on Saturday. Always appreciate the time, and we'll touch base next week before Thanksgiving.
All right, Pat. Appreciate you, man.
Dabo Swinney, by the way, his birthday is game day on Saturday.
That's right. That's right.
He says he knows what he wants for his birthday.
What did he tell you?
Yeah, a W. That's what he wants. He wants a victory celebration at the house after the game. You know, I do want to ask you, though, about Senior Day. You've been down that deal, right? Yeah. You touched the rock for the last time. You're standing there going, man. Goes by so fast.
Yeah.
What's that like, though?
Blink of an eye, man. And really just to be honored that way, to be able to stand where so many great men and women have stood to represent that Paul and to do it for the last time. And you know, you hear your name called. You've got 80,000 plus just sitting there screaming their heads off for you. And then you come down, see Coach Sweeney, hug Coach Sweeney, and then your mom and dad and other family members. My brother was there as well. And my wife, at the time, my girlfriend and her parents. It's just amazing. I mean, it's one of the best things to go through, the emotion, the excitement, and just realizing that how special it is, the game that we play, and that all great things sadly do come to an end. But it's going to be an emotional day for those guys to start, but then you got to put it all to the side because you got some big boy football to play.
33 in a row at home.
It's a big number.
That's a large number. A
lot at stake.
And that's why there's a different pressure, I think, tomorrow in that game. I mean, for Wake, the opportunity, right? Oh, my gosh, we are so close. We win this game, we're in. And for Clemson, hey, we've been the kings of this place, man, six straight.
Yeah.
And they still have a chance. Yeah, now, it's not like they're just, hey, we got one more game to play. No, they win that game. Some crazy stuff happens, they could still end up back in Charlotte.
Could you imagine?
Oh, my goodness. As crazy as the year has been, I put nothing past anybody. Right. I really don't. It's been a goofy year. But that will be something. I do think Wake catches a break, though, with a noon kick.
Definitely. Not a night game. I mean, what a huge break. The one thing for Wake that I will say going into this game, you cannot be afraid of that, Paul. You cannot walk in there and already think, oh, my goodness. You are the number 10 team in the country. Do not forget that. Don't forget about everything that you've done, and don't lose the game before it even starts. And there's times where I've seen that happen back in the Seminole days, back when Clemson's been on this amazing streak. So the biggest thing for me in Wake Forest, don't fear anybody when you walk out there.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Two really important games in the ACC. We'll see again if Pitt and or Wake can clinch tomorrow. When we come back, a fascinating game. Pair of 5-5s. They've been in the news this week. Virginia Tech got a new coach. Miami's going to have a new AD. They're going to hook up at the Hard Rock. Get to know J.C. Price, the Virginia Tech interim head coach, when we return on Packer and Durham right here on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. Pack and Mac on a Friday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. We got the Hokies, we got the Canes. 5-5, 5-5, 3-3, 3-3. Something's got to give.
Something.
At the Hard Rock. But there's a new man in charge for the next couple weeks for the Hokies.
Right. That's right. Tough. Yeah. I mean, really tough situation. Timing, interesting. I understand the world that we're living in, and you want to maybe get ahead of things and maybe – you know, at least start to float some ideas. I'm not sure on the exact rules of who you can talk to, when you can talk to, and, of course, wanting to be very respectful. But it's tough, man. Anytime you make a change in leadership for the kids, I mean, everybody thinks, okay, administration-wise, yeah, we got to make a change. But, I mean, that's who those guys went to Virginia Tech for. And that's why they chose that school, and a big reason. And when that's taken away, you saw everybody going to, you know, Twitter and other social media outlets. It's rough on them. And, you know, now it's will be very interesting to see, Pac. Does it galvanize them? Does it bring them together?
I think it does.
I think so, too. I think we're going to see inspired football by both teams.
I do, too. I think J.C. Price is the guy we're talking about, and maybe a chance to get to know J.C. a little bit. He's the interim head coach, co-defensive line coach, joined Virginia Tech staff in 21, and he has a love affair with the institution. All right? You go through the whole thing here.
Yeah, captain, All-American.
Right, man. Virginia Tech defensive lineman, 92 to 95, team captain, All-American, as you mentioned, at the Hokies. Third-round pick by the Panthers back in the 1996 NFL draft. And, you know, this has got to be a thrill of a lifetime for him. I mean, you know, anytime you get a chance to go back to your alma mater with a chance to contribute and help, you know, mold young men, I mean, that's what it's all about.
Right. No question. And circumstances, I know, terrible. I'm sure they were great friends, him and Fu. And, you know, you never want to get an opportunity because of someone else's, you know, despair there. But, I mean, for a guy that bled, sweat, probably cried a bunch for that program to now be the leader for these last couple of weeks. It's a really cool opportunity.
J.C. Price met with the media, and as you can expect, got it very, very emotional talking about taking over for Justin Fuente.
And I'm just going to be honest, and you know, you come up to people and people tell you congratulations, it feels like they're ripping my heart out. Because I didn't want it. under these circumstances. But once again, it's humbling to be the guy that Witt has decided to lead us the last 2 weeks, and I'm just going to be me and do everything I can for these kids.
I will be very surprised if they don't play well.
Right.
I mean, you just got to figure, hey, on the road, taking on the game. Not to mention, those two go way back anyhow. Anytime Virginia Tech and Miami get together, I don't care what the records are. I mean,
throw them out.
They like to beat up on each other. That happened long before they both joined the ACC.
Right.
Right. They had great battles in the Big East. And now, hey, down the road, they see each other every single year. And given, you know, what's going on at Miami with Blake James and all the rumors and speculation floating around down there, I suspect Miami will sit there and go, hey, let's go play for us.
That's right.
But I expect Virginia Tech to play well tomorrow. I do.
I think we're going to see two very inspired teams, two teams that have galvanized very quickly and saying, let's do this for us, for the name on the side of our helmet, for on our chest and on our back, and you know, let's go represent. And I think that's exactly what we're going to see from both teams. I would not be surprised at all if we see just a high-scoring affair where both teams figure it out and you're really just getting after each other. And you mentioned the Miami situation. I mean, it's very surreal the way that folks have been discussing the Miami coaching job as if it's available. It is not. Coach Diaz doing a fantastic job has turned this thing around midship here, and it's crazy the recklessness that I've seen from people just saying all these things about him. And I think you go out there and say, boys, let's run it up. Let's do whatever we can to make sure that this is a big-time splash. But I understand when you make a change at the top, people are going to speculate, and people are going to talk about all programs involved with Miami.
Well, here's the other thing too, Eric. They're also coming off a really heartbreaking loss to their arch rival,
right,
in Florida State. And the game, they were down 17-0. Looked like they're a little flat-footed. You know, they got punched right in the face. And guess what they did? They responded, which to me is the ultimate sign that guess what? Coach has got them right with it. I mean, they're listening and they're buying into what's going on. They went from down 17 to up 28-20 on the road.
Right.
And all of a sudden now Florida State had to respond, and to the Canes, I mean, to the Noles credit, they responded to the Canes run.
Right.
And so I think both those teams in some respect, one was 0-4, one was 2-4. I thought they both did a nice job.
Right.
Trying to make sure that
had to win. Somebody had to win.
Those two seasons could have gone in the toilet and flush it, and we'll catch you next year. And that didn't happen. They both responded. And even that game, I thought they both responded. So if you're Miami, you got to put that rearview mirror, right? The emotion of that game, rearview mirror. And here's the other thing. 5-5 means one thing. The winner of the game gets bowl eligible. Now, you may say, who cares? Let's get this thing over with. Wrong. I mean, I think when you're 5-5 and you're fighting, and you got the whole situation with Virginia Tech with a new coaching staff, who knows what that's going to be, and you're Miami with all the rumors floating around, hey, I want to get that 6.
No question.
Let's get to a bowl. Let's keep moving on and see what happens.
It's huge.
Right.
It's huge. I mean, it's the reward at the end of the season. And so many people are – and I know there's a lot of bowls, and people feel the way that they do, but you think of these young men who get a go on these trips that never would have elsewise, never would have seen these parts of the world elsewise. And, you know, there's gifts, there's Christmas thing that involved that maybe they have family situation. They don't get any of that stuff.
You get to play another game.
Bowls matter. Bowls are big time important. You get to practice. You get to do all these other things. So I'm a big proponent of it, and love the fact that we have two teams Saturday fighting in prime time to extend their season.
Here's the other thing too. As we did all the matchups, Virginia Tech's really struggled offensively, even though they're coming off a nice effort from all that perspective, right? But Miami's defense has given up 30 or more in 6 consecutive games. Now, for Miami fans, that's almost like unheard of, right? Yeah. You expect Miami's defense to be flying around, causing havoc, causing problems. That, to me, is the game.
Yeah.
Is it Virginia Tech's offense that shows up and does something? Or is it going to be Miami's defense that says, hey, enough is enough.
Right.
Let's go shut somebody down.
Right.
I've seen Virginia Tech get shut down offensively. But can Miami do something about that? Or do we have a crazy high-scoring game? I mean, because I know TVD is going to be throwing it all over the yard.
Exactly. Well, what's interesting that you bring that up is you look at this Hokie defense, and you look at their secondary, how experienced they are, how old they are. They've played two of the best quarterbacks in this league, in Sam Howell and Kenny Pickett. Held both of them to right at 200 yards. And so that's unheard of when you look at those two guys and the stats that they throw up. So will Tyler be able to? Will the run game have to step up and be very complimentary for Miami to move the ball, almost pack running it to throw. Mm-hmm. You know, keeping the balance to where, all right, we kind of caught them off balance. Maybe we have some one-on-one matchups. Boom, we hit a big pass play. So that's something that something has to give here. 300, you know, plus passing yards here in four straight games, or a Virginia Tech Hokie defense that has not given up a 300-yard ACC passer.
All right, so who do you like in this game?
I'm flipping a coin Saturday, and then I will pick.
I mean, really, because to me,
this I don't know.
I think this is the game this week that you said, hey, I'm going to give you five reasons why Miami wins, right. A, B, C, D, E, and you go, all right, I'm buying it. I'm going to give you five reasons why Virginia Tech's going to win the game. You know, and you go, okay, I'm buying that too.
Yeah.
And the emotion too. The one thing we don't know, and we're totally speculating
here.
Yeah. Does Virginia Tech, are they walking zombies because, hey, right. Fuente's gone and right. – hey, no disrespect to JC. Hey, we just want to get – or is it like, hey, you know what? They took something from us. Let's go play for coach.
Exactly.
I think they're going to do – I will be surprised if Virginia Tech does not play with a ton of emotion.
Yeah.
I don't think I saw that when they played BC a couple Fridays ago where it just looked like it's totally cold. Yeah. Let's get out of here. You did the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's 17-3, and they just didn't have any – there was nothing going on. There was no – rah, rah, there was no enthusiasm, it was cold, you're on the road, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll see that tomorrow from Virginia Tech.
I don't either. I think Big Dax linebacker is going to have them jacked up, ready to go. I think coach is going to have them ready to go. And as you said, something was taken from us. Let's go out and prove that that was a mistake. Let's prove that this team still has things in front of them and go out and get this W. With that said, I am leaning Miami because of quarterback play. I think at the end of the day, it's the most important position on the field. And they have the better quarterback.
And he's been so good lately.
Dealing.
I mean, just dealing. Terrific.
Yeah.
Right? We gave you the stat. 300 yards, three touchdowns in the last four. And he's brash. And you know what? The young guys around him.
Swag, yeah.
They're buying.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, hey, he's going to get us the football. Mm-hmm. Let's go make a play. Mm-hmm. Should be fun. That's a primetime game tomorrow night.
That's right.
We come back. Guess what? Hour two. We begin one stat per game. We go all Denless. We're going to cover everybody today. So just chill. Take your calls, too, at 844-SAY-ACCN. Eric McClain filling in for West Durham. It's Packer and Durham right here on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham.